traveling and our prayers. We thank God for the love that they show for us on a daily basis. And you know, it's just so good to be here. So many wonderful testimonies, and so many wonderful smiling faces today. And the sister here, she just, for whatever reason, I think of the word bubbles, but I said hello to her and she's just bubbling, you know. And if you like people like that, you know, everybody doesn't, you know, it's not fair sometimes. Everybody doesn't show their happiness or their joy. And that's okay. But when some people do, it's just a blessing. It really is. It's a blessing. I just want to thank God for all of the elders in the house, and I want to give honor to them, the ministers, the deacons, all the saints, and I want to thank God for my wife and family, and I certainly, you know, this particular time, I didn't know if I would be here because I wasn't feeling that well. All of a sudden, Friday, Saturday, I just thought I would feel better, and I never actually did. So I called Elder Tinsley. He was more than happy to step in. He was like, "You're not ready, I'm ready. You know I'm ready, right? Did I mention I'm ready? I'm ready." I said, "I think you're ready, Elder Tinsley." I know. Not my call anyway, but I know. But I'm ready. All right. So I thank God for, like I said, every single testimony. I'd like for you to all stand, and got to talk kind of calm right now. You know, normally, for the visitors, you know, normally, the car goes while I'm up here, and talking, and I'm wound up so much that the cameras can't keep up with me. Normally, but today, I'm going to just be relaxed and calm and smooth. So you're going to miss out a little bit. I'd like to, that's not exactly the truth. can you turn with me to, we're going to go to 1 Timothy, 4th chapter. I gotta get it. It's funny because I don't use my Bible a lot. I normally use my phone. But when I'm up here, it's kind of awkward using the phone because if you don't get a good signal, you're in trouble now. So now you're stuck. So all that has to happen is one time. And you will never do that again. The pages are gonna stay here. So we're going to read from 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter, 9th verse, and we'll conclude in the 12th verse. You have it, you can say amen.
Yeah.
Hold on, I don't have it. Oh no, there it is, I'm sorry. Okay, the Bible said, let's go together. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Let's read that 13th verse actually. Till I come, give attention to reading and exhortation to doctrine. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Father, we thank you for your goodness, your mercy, your kindness. Lord, we thank you for just being you, Lord God. We thank you for just being in our lives. All that you've done for us, Lord God, we just don't have enough time to tell it. Lord God, we just thank you. Today we ask that everything be done to your glory, Lord God. Lord, let your word go forth, that some soul might cry out, "What must I do to be saved?" And remember our pastor and assistant pastor while they travel. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. I just want to, we're all so grateful to God what he has done for us, how he laid his life down, and how he set us free by doing such. And I'm mindful of, in the book of Matthew, where it talks about, they all give an account of when Jesus went to the cross. But in Matthew, I think it's the 14th chapter, we won't turn to it, it talks about how the high priest was there and the witnesses against Christ, they couldn't agree together what he had done wrong. And the high priest was hoping that someone stepped up and just pointed the finger, but the witnesses were all messed up. So the high priest got upset and said, you know what? You said this, that, and the other against God. Didn't you say that this temple was going to be down and you'll raise it up in 3 days? Didn't you say, he said, oh yeah, not only did I say that, but I said I'm going to be coming on a cloud on the right hand of God with great power and glory. I said that too. Aha, the high priest. All of a sudden he rent his clothes and he's upset. You can't say nothing about that temple. You say something about the temple and that's it. This man blasphemed. He did this, that, and the other. That's not what I'm going to focus on right now. But after that, people heard it. And the Bible says they began to beat him and to spit on him. And the Bible says they buffeted him. And I looked up that word buffeted, and it meant to rap with a fist. They were punching him. You ever see the crowd gang attacking one person and everybody's getting a lick in? This is the scene there. And I think they spit on him. And I think for me, he took it all. For me. You have to personalize it. It's for me he did this. It's for me. And I'll tell you this. Somebody get the disgusting meter out now because it's going to go way up there. All right? I remember being in the sixth grade and I was in one of those advanced classes. Trust me. And they were cruel. My junior high was cruel. They had 6'1 was the absolute brains. 6'2 came next. 6'3 all the way down to 6'13. Well, they knew I wasn't hanging out really good with the 6'2. I was in 6'2. And I was barely, they just pushed me through. They knew he's a nice kid. He throws spitballs a lot. But he doesn't deserve to be held back, so we'll push him ahead. But they put me in 7'13. 7'13. I mean, I wasn't doing that bad. 7'13. I mean, 7'1, 7'2. I'm telling you, the 7'13 kids, they look like men in there. I went in there, full beards and everything. And I'm saying, mister, when do I sit? And the man said, I don't care. You sit next to me. I'm a student. I thought you were the teacher. You're a student. Grown men, full beards. Some of them had kids already. They might be pushing it there. But I'm just saying, they were like really bad kids. I mean, people had really given up on them. And I remember, this is the disgusting part. I remember being in the gym, and I remember they placed some of the kids up high on a bleacher, and I was sitting down low. And my mom made us get big afros all the time because she was cheap. And she would be real Afro haircut. She didn't want to pay the $2 at the time. And I remember having this big old afro, mad about it. I didn't want it. And I remember sitting in the gym and then going back to class about an hour or two later. And I just kept complaining about my afro. You know, I said, no one said a word to me. But I put my hand on my head and I pulled down like this. Lo and behold, someone had spit in my hair, and I told you it was disgusting, and it come down on my face. And at that point, I gotta tell you, I was not Jesus. I was looking for the one. I didn't care how old he was. I was looking for him. I needed to get a hold of whoever it was. Nobody knew anything, but they got me out of that class, thank God, because they knew I didn't belong there. Ended up in 7-5. That's beside the point. All right, I just thought I'd just humor you a little bit. Brother Danny, I don't know what it is, but every time I'm here, you do something, and something here happens, and we're connected some kind of way. I don't know what it is. But with all the trouble that's in the world, and I just read this to you, with all of the trouble that the world has to offer, the murders, the rapes, the robberies, betrayals, the financial and job instability, the uncertainty. diversity of jobs, the love of many waxing cold. How many times are we going to see someone shoot up someone in a, just innocent, just spray bullets? With all of that going on, your mission here, should you choose to accept it, is to love one another as Christ has loved you and forgave you, and to be kind one to another, and to be good unto all men when you have the opportunity, but especially of those who are of the household of faith, and to live according to what the scripture has to say, and not what another man. Should you choose to accept it, that's your mission. If you can, if you're so bold, you can tell somebody next to you, I'm on a mission. I'm on a mission, and by faith it's possible. We're not on a mission impossible. We're on a mission that's very possible by faith. Turn with me to the book of, we're going to go to the book of Better, the book of Hebrews. I'm on a mission, somebody. I'm on a mission. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but they call this book the book of Better. So many times it's written in this book, a better covenant, a better testament. God giving something better. And it's written by only God really knows who. But when I line it up next to the book of Romans, it looks just like the book of Romans. And it ends, and Paul says in one of his books, if you're confused by how I write, this is how I write. Grace be unto you and peace. And that's how I end my letter. And this is ended the same exact way. So I have to conclude that it has to be Paul writing this, if it's anybody. But like I said, it's a book of Better. In the first chapter, you don't have to turn, but in the first chapter, it talks about Christ being made better than the angels. And in the seventh chapter, we see that it talks about a better testimony. Not an Old Testament, but a better testament. And then it talks in chapter 8 about a more excellent ministry. And, you know, I don't know about you, but if I got a chance, if you're going to give me an old car or a new car, I'd like to say the new car is better. If you got a chance for an old house or a new house, I mean, which one are you going to go with? So Paul is here trying to persuade these men of old and saying, listen, that's old. Don't overlook what has come in. Don't overlook what God has done for you. Don't overlook it. But we'll turn to Hebrews chapter 6. Well, wait a minute. Let me not get ahead of myself here. Let's go back to, let me focus here on something in Timothy before I go ahead. I apologize. This here is Paul again in the ninth verse. He says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. This is a faithful saying. For therefore we labor and suffer reproach. Understand what he's talking about here is we suffer things and we put up with things from our loved ones because Christ loved us so much. And remember, after all, he got spit in the face for you and me. So we gotta understand this. Sometimes we just have a lack of patience when it comes to another. And sometimes we don't really understand what all somebody has done and gone through. I never forget the story of a pastor who had a sold out money store, a full house, and somebody decided to sit on the front row, and he felt like he was delivering a very strong message, and the person kind of nodded off and went to sleep. And he thought to himself, he must be tired maybe or something. But then when he fell asleep and fell over and just laid out the rest of the service, the preacher began to get upset. And he wanted to say, go over and say, why didn't you get your sleep somewhere else? Why did you even bother coming here? But he held his peace, and he didn't say anything, but he was angry. He was getting upset, because he felt like, this man is not even paying attention. Why waste anybody's time? But after the service, he shook a lot of folks' hands on the way out, and after the man came up to him and said, hey, I just wanted to thank you. I drove like 10 hours to get here. I'm dying of cancer. I'm on medication that knocks me out. I apologize if I'm falling asleep, but I just have to hear you. I know I got about a week or two to live. I know that I'm not going to have this opportunity again, but I just wanted to be in service with you one more time. And I think, wow, suppose that guy had that pastor gone out and made judgment too early, too quick, not understanding. And this is where the Holy Ghost comes in. It's like nowadays, the Holy Ghost has a back seat. I don't understand. Maybe we become too smart in society. Maybe we rely too much on intellect instead of relying on the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost is what's going to lead and stop you sometimes from saying some bad things and then having to apologize for them. The Holy Ghost is our truth seeker. It leads us into all truth. And sometimes because we get a text message from someone that they need prayer, that's not the Holy Ghost. They told you they need prayer. What happened to those old timers? They didn't need that text message to know that they needed to pray for somebody. It has happened to me. It was a time that somebody needs it, and I'm praying. And I'm thinking, I don't know what the situation is. And then the person told me later what the situation was. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. But how many times have I missed it, relying on phones and text messages and Facebook and all these things? Facebook is good, but it tells you what people are doing. It just doesn't tell you how they are doing. Two people on my job just this past week committed suicide. And I'm thinking, the one I knew very well, and I'm like, I didn't see that coming. I didn't know that he was in that state of mind. But I didn't pick up on it. And it's a, you know, it's telling the truth about me. I didn't pick up on it. It should have registered to me when he told me he was attending union meetings. He's been retired for a year. And he's still attending union meetings. I should have known. I should have said, he must be awfully lonely if you're going down. I don't even go to the union meetings. I can't stand those things. But you're going down and you must be awfully lonely. Why didn't I ask what's going on? You know, I didn't know to ask because maybe I wasn't in touch like I should have been. I should have been in touch with that situation. Sometimes we see each other and we have a disgruntled face or we come in all mad. You don't know sometimes what somebody has gone through. Don't make a quick judgment. Don't pressure them in the moment. Just say, hey, how's it going? All right, I see, you know, if you need to talk, I'm here for you, blah, blah, blah. Don't give them a hard time. Not right then. We need to rely more on the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example to believers in word and conversation and love and spirit and faith and purity. In purity, we ought to love one another, not run each other down, not talk bad about each other. If there's something I'm doing that's messing you up, come talk to me. That's what the Bible said. Just have a word with me. And don't blow me up in front of 9 people and tell me that I messed up or something. Come, hey brother, can I talk to you to the side here? Talk to me. I'm approachable. You're approachable. But we need to have a little patience one with another. After all, he said, have love one for another, but especially of the household of faith. Now let's go to the book of Beth. Hallelujah. 6th chapter, I think I said that. The 9th verse, I'll read. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation. Though we thus speak, I'm sorry, but God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have shown toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do the same, show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. And be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise. Inherit the promise. Hallelujah. This is talking about just being patient one with another, just having an understanding, and you're an example. Somebody's watching you. Somebody's talking. Somebody's listening while you're doing all the talking. Someone's listening. Sometimes we're not the greatest examples to our children. They haven't seen us at our best. Sometimes they've seen quite the opposite. So it's sometimes we're supposed to be an example to those. And the thing about this is, what we're talking about is doing it the Bible way. Doing it the Bible way. I know God's got things covered in Scripture that you wouldn't believe if you just trust Him. I mean, read the back of the Bible of anything, and the main thing that's in that Bible comes first, and then second, and then third, and it goes on down the list. But the main ingredient in milk, guess what it is? Milk. That's the main thing. So, the main thing in Scripture, there is nothing in Scripture more than the word prayer. Nothing more. He lines us. So if it's something, put it like this, if it's something you need to know on the test, you know, when you sit in the class sometimes, they say, if I repeat something, it might be on the test. Even though me in 713 do that, I'm leaving back that class. Oh, stop talking now. He said that twice. That might be on the test. So I'm going to study that. I've got to pass the test and get out of this. All these hoopoes around here. I've got to get out of this class. So I just want to pay attention. It was said twice, but nothing is said more than prayer. Guess what? Nothing second up is praise. There's no limit to, he said prayer and praise so many times. So he wants prayer going on, and then he wants praise. Third up is his word, because none of that happens unless you read his word. But you know what the fourth thing is? You'd be surprised what the fourth thing is that's talked about in Scripture. It's money. Because he knew that you would be concerned about money. So he got that all covered in there. And I'm sorry, churches, people, we can have 100 car washes all we want. If we did what's in the book, we wouldn't have to worry about finances. For a church, for individuals, you'll never have to worry about finances when you do what's in the book. When you do what's in the book, I want to show you, you do your best fundraising project. And I'm not bashing on any church or nothing like that. I'm just saying, you do your best fundraising thing or whatever. What are you going to get? $1,000, $2,000, $3,000? That's a great fundraiser, right? You get $3,000. Well, check this out. If you evangelize and get 10 families in the church, 10 families pay, they get $50, they pay $50 tithe. What's that? 200? 10, that's $500 a week, right? Somebody do the math for me. $500 a week, right? That's $2,000 a month. Do the math. So the reason God doesn't lay out anything about fundraising, because he did, we just missed it. We're just so smart, we missed it. It's like, go out to the highways, byways, bring them in. You know how we get things done financially? Put some hips in the seats. Bottom line, make a difference in somebody's life. Show them the love of Christ. That's what God wants. That's why if he talked about it, I mean, I got kids, and my kids seem to do things that I didn't ask them to do. And then the list, I got like 20 things on the list. Okay, do this, get this all done. And they got none of those done, but the one thing I didn't have no idea they were going to do. Surprise, I did this. I didn't ask for an underground sprinkler system. I didn't want you to install it. Let me handle that. I've got to get somebody professional. And I dug up the lawn, I don't need that. I needed you to do somebody said, Pastor, Pastor, you're busy about a lot of things, but listen to my word. My word. My word says sit and listen. Because you got to learn something when you sit and listen. You don't have to do all of those things. If God put us in this building, he's not able to sustain us? Are you kidding me? God doesn't take you. A lesson from God doesn't make you corrupt. Now, oh, we got to start bootlegging liquor to keep the church open. No, God doesn't say that. God's got to handle his business. You just show up to church. You just tell somebody about the love of God. You just went. There's two legs here. There's two legs of his love. His love as evangelism is going out and getting somebody unsaved, but also the one that's here, teach so that we grow. You know, so teaching. Remember, Paul said, these things you ought to do and teach. Teach the word in this place. Then we'll have people hanging out for a little while. It's so nice to see people come, but it's sad when they just move on. It's all right if they move on to another church and they're doing good, but many times they move on without God. So they just move on out of here. But God is saying, do what I'm asking you to do. I didn't ask for all in Iceland or whatever. I don't care about that. But what does the Bible say? Now, when Daniel saw that lines up with the words, that boy, it didn't work yet. Fantastic. That's great. But I talk about that. You can't look at what everybody else is doing. I can't look at Elvetism and say, well, that's what I need to be. I need to be Elvetism. No, that doesn't work. I need to be who I am, who God wants me to be. This church needs to be who God wants to know. Parker was saying that. You need to be who God wants you to be. It doesn't work everywhere else. You got to really pray to the mind of God what he wants me to do here. And I'm going to tell you, he wants you to pray. He wants you to praise. He wants you to listen to his word. He wants you to show love one to another. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians, it talks about them that compare themselves as a tongue twister. But I better read it so you don't get all mixed up, because I'll be mixed up. And we'll look at each cross-eyed, and I have four more eyes than you. Not going to be good at that. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 12.
So much for me.
He's been so good that the goodness I remember being a young man in God, and I tell you, my church had no problems if they said, we need you to go to New York City tomorrow morning. I didn't have questions. Boom, I went. If I could do it on my job, I did it. I always was in the set mindset, I'll be blessed later on if I do this, that, the other, or whatever. I don't even need a blessing. I just want to be obedient. I just want to do whatever it takes. Now we got people, sometimes they have 1,000 questions before they got to do it. Well, that's not God. It's like, well, the attitude should be, I'm going to say yes first. Hopefully I start to understand it as I go. But if I don't, I don't mean no harm. I don't understand. I want to do it, but I don't understand why I'm doing it this way. And then maybe somebody will tell you, but God has been so good and so real in our lives. Why do we have so many questions when it comes to the will of God? You know, God has just been so real with us. And the fact that he laid it all down. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. When I think of the goodness of Jesus, I tell you, I'm on a mission. When I think of the goodness of Jesus, I've got to win somebody to Christ. I've got to tell somebody about the goodness of the Lord. Look what he's done for me. He reached to the bottom of the barrel and then to the other end of the barrel to get just a rotten apple like me. When you feel like that, then you'll take down sometimes. Sometimes you just gotta humble yourself. Sometimes you need to remember where God brought you from. The Bible says, oh, that they were wise, that they understood, that they would consider their latter ends. You may look at me right now and say, oh, he's blessed. Let me tell you the years that I went through laboring and no reward, laboring for nothing, never got my name called for stripes and all that stuff, never did anything, never worried about it. I said, Lord, I just want to please you. I don't need to hear my name. And when I thought I would hear my name, I got to tell you a little secret, I purposely messed something up so they wouldn't call my name. I messed it up because I knew that glory might do something up here. I didn't need the dynamics. Some people now need dynamics. If you don't call me to preach, I'm not coming. If you don't call me to sing, I'm not coming. I gotta come to somewhere where I'm gonna be able to do my thing and shine. No, that's the wrong attitude. That's the wrong attitude. God is so good, and the love that is shown toward me, when you feel like you were the worst one out of all of them, and you passed all these beautiful apples, all of these nice clean apples on the top, and they came up to the top, it was nice and pretty, and they put those for sale, but he reached all around, all the way down, and the bottom of the barrel was out. It was out, and I'm on the ground, and that's the way I feel, and that's the way I believe he wants us to feel, like he took us from nothing and made us something. But we gotta be careful that we don't forget where he brought us from. We gotta be mindful to think of the goodness of Jesus, because if he had led us to our enemies would have devoured us. The Bible says that he is a roaring lion. Your enemy is a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. God has just been so good keeping me from all hurt, harm, and danger. I tell you, I'm blessed. Hallelujah. I don't know when the blessing came along the way. You know, it's sort of like weightlifting. You don't know when the payoff comes. You know, one guy I used to work out with, he said, this is the pay set. This is the pay set. I'm like, what are you talking about pay set? This is the one where you start to get some growth in, and this is the one you're doing something. I don't know when that was in my life, but I know I said yes so many times. I had a willing heart so many times, and this is not a pat on my back, but this happened with so many. I look at Elder Camp, and I said, Lord, have mercy. This man worked 2 lifetimes already, and a lot of time I was right there with him. Worked 2 lifetimes already, and you see him around here, and you may think, well, you know, he doesn't work. He doesn't. Listen, the man worked two full-time jobs already. And you know, he will work more than me and you will work in our lifetime. And he's done that twice over. And I look at it now and say, wow, you're blessed. Who has God given a church to like this? I mean, but we did it God's way. We didn't do no big sales or no anything. We did it God's way. We put the email out there, and then those who responded gave a blessing. That's all you do. You leave it alone. God will do the rest. God will do the rest. Stop worrying, Martha. Stop worrying about everything. We're all worried, Lord. You know? We're all worried about tomorrow. But when you do it God's way, He's got your back. He's got your back. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but He's just done so much for me. He's just done so much. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is just so real in my life. And I don't know when I hit that pin set, as my friend would call it. I don't know if I did anything. I certainly don't feel like I did anything to deserve the mercy and grace that He bestowed on me. But some kind of way He did. And now things are a little bit easier than they used to be. Young people, invest in your future. Sow now. So that you reap later. I'm telling you, it's a rough world and it's getting rougher. If you don't sow to the Spirit, you're not going to reap from the Spirit. That's the truth. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I just want to do it God's way. And I'm on a mission. I'm on a mission to win souls. It's about evangelism. Two legs, the lost and you and me. We got to get better. We read from the book of better. If God can make things better, hallelujah, I know I can make things better. I know I can. Minister Simon will do this, but he said, don't make any major changes. Just up, down, just a little bit. Just make a little change in your life. Just a little bit. Don't go crazy. Just a little bit. But make it better. Find it in the scripture. Don't come to me with anything but unless it's found in scripture. I don't know about you, but speaking of that, the Bible says God having provided some better thing for you and me that those Old Testament saints that are without us cannot be made perfect. They need us. God provided some better thing for us. We can all stand as the ministers and elders. Hallelujah. I want to serve God to the fullest. I want to serve Him like He wants to be served. I don't want to pick up my own thing and come to Him my own way. But I'm on a mission to do His will. And my faith is possible. And know this message.